My dear friend, in the words of 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 9, what doest thou here? 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 9, what doest thou here? By shifting the emphasis, there are four different ways of putting this question. It may be put this way, what doest thou here? Or this way, what doest thou here? Or this way, what doest thou here? Or this way, what doest thou here? It is, of course, God's question to his servant Elijah, who had come to Horeb, the Mount of God, and he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and the Lord said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And from the very first moment that I knew it would be my privilege and responsibility to pass on to you the opening message at this Keswick Convention, I felt that the Lord would have me speak on these words. I want to speak quite briefly because many of you have traveled, you've had a long journey, and probably you're feeling weary, and we all want to feel fresh and ready for the day tomorrow and the week that is ahead of us. Let us seek now at this moment deliberately, consciously, to relax in God's presence and to cast off just for these few moments all sense of hurry so that we may really listen for his voice right at the outset of this convention. For the next few days, this lovely Lakeland town of Keswick is to be our Horeb, the place where we shall hear God speaking to us, and the place where God will put to us a personal and a very practical and maybe a very disturbing question. The same question that he put to Elijah. What doest thou here? He would ask that question of us, only perhaps with a far wider application today than was the case when he asked that question of the prophet Elijah all those years ago. For example, what doest thou here? For weeks you've been looking forward to this convention. You've been making plans and preparations. And now the moment has come when you have arrived and you have assembled with thousands of others. Here you are in the presence of God. But let me ask you, what have you really come for? What are you seeking? How have you come to this convention? In what frame of mind have you come here into the presence of God? What are the secret longings of your heart? What is your need? Perhaps we can answer these questions best by considering three things about this question that God put to Elijah and by noticing the application it has to those of us who have come up to this 1960 Keswick Convention. This question, what doest thou here, has to do with a person, then it has to do with a place, and then it has to do with a purpose. Think first of all of the person. We're not left in any doubt as to who the person was. We do not have to guess to whom it was God was speaking, for we are told it was Elijah. What do we know about Elijah? Well, we know first of all that he was a servant of God. As to his background and his early life, the scripture tells us very little. We are told that he was a Tishbite and he lived at Gilead. And we are told that he was a man who was truly in the service of God because he lived in the presence of God. When he went to stand before Ahab, we are told that he said to him, as the Lord God liveth before whom I stand, I am God's man, I am his servant, I am at God's disposal, I am the Lord's man, I am his. That's the first thing we know about this man, Elijah. He was God's servant. And I suppose that is true of the majority of those of us who have come up to this convention. We are diffident about explaining it too quickly, but by the infinite grace of God, most of us who have come here are servants of the Lord. We know the Lord, and we have in some measure come into his purposes, and his purposes have been worked out in us. And we, by the grace of God, as Elijah of old, we know the Lord, and we are his servants. If you are not in the majority, we pray that before very long you may so hear the voice of the Lord that you may become his servant and know him for yourself. Most of us, through God's grace, are Christians. And this convention, while it does not by any means leave out ministry to those who have not yet come to a personal knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, it does exercise particularly and primarily a ministry to those who know the Lord and who are anxious and zealous and keen to go on with Christ and to know more about him and to be more effective in his service. But Elijah was not only a servant of God. We know from the record in the first book of Kings that he was a servant whom God had very greatly used. Why, what a man of courage he was. What a man of patience he was. What a man of tremendous faith, a mighty man. This great man, Elijah, a key man. And God had wonderfully used him for the fulfillment of his purposes in those dark and apostatizing days. God had performed his mighty miracles through the prayers and through the faith of this man, and Satan's hosts had been scattered. I'm quite sure that all of us, any of us, feel very small indeed, standing beside Elijah, this spiritual giant, this mighty warrior. Nevertheless, my friends, God has, again, in his infinite mercy, taken hold of many of us here tonight and used us. That is his purpose. Were it not true for us to say that, it would be a dreadful thing. God is pleased to use men, ministers, missionaries, servants, ambassadors, witnesses, those who go forth linked unto him by divine grace and through whom the Spirit of God flows in power. Many of us are key people. We did not choose to be, but God has placed us in key positions. We are missionaries and ministers and youth leaders and Sunday school teachers and Christian workers. And we have prayed as Elijah prayed, and we've seen answers to our prayers. Yes, and have we not seen the miracle working power of God as well? But listen, my friends, this man Elijah, this servant of the Lord, this man who was on intimate terms with God, and who was so wonderfully used and saw God putting forth his power in miraculous ways. Oh, this man was in such desperate need. Poor Elijah. And may I say this quietly, poor you, if you've come up to this convention in the frame of mind and in the condition that Elijah was in. He was in need physically, he was in need mentally, and he was in need, above all, spiritually. How often our spiritual condition is the key to the whole situation of release and blessing in our lives. Perhaps we're unwell physically, perhaps we're all pressed in and disturbed mentally, but if only we would get right with God spiritually, that is the key to the whole situation. I believe it was with Elijah. Tell me honestly, what is your need tonight as you sit in the presence of God? Elijah was discouraged. He was desperate. He was a man on the run. He was just now out of touch with the Lord. He wanted to die. He prayed to die. He was all mixed up and disturbed in his mind, yes, and in his heart. And he was pressed in on every hand with an overwhelming sense of failure. Everything was out of perspective. Just for the moment, the vision of God even was temporarily obscured. How do you fit into that picture? Would any of those things describe you? But oh, thank God, this man Elijah, although his need was so great, he came right into the place of blessing on Horeb, where not only once, but twice, God met with him and said, "Elijah, Elijah, my servant, what doest thou here?" And oh, how true it is that Keswick, 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 not on Horeb, but up in the hills of Cumberland, is likewise for every one of us a place of blessing. Think with me for a moment then about the place. And Elijah came to Keswick, I beg your pardon, to Horeb. I must be honest, I made the mistake purposely. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? The place, Horeb, the Mount of God. And first of all, I noticed it was a place of infinite compassion. Oh, yes, Elijah had failed. But oh, my dear friends, when you get back to your room tonight, when you get quiet, just read in this chapter in 1 Kings how tenderly God dealt with his servant when he was repining in the wilderness of Beersheba. And he was just as tender in his dealings with him when he was on Horeb. Why, the Lord sent his angel to minister to his weary, failing, discouraged servant and prescribe for him rest and food and a holiday. And when he asked Elijah, what doest thou here, Elijah? What was his tone of voice? Was there a whip within his voice? No, there wasn't. I'm sure there wasn't. Oh, it was so tender, so loving, so understanding, so merciful, so gracious. Elijah, my servant, what doest thou here? Tell me, have you come to this convention beaten and broken and bruised, discouraged and defeated and despairing? Oh, this is a place of infinite compassion. This is the place where God deals very tenderly with his failing people. A place of infinite compassion. I notice also it was a place of divine revelation. And the Lord said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. The angel said that, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rock before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. What a revelation that was. Maybe at this convention, the Lord will pass by with a great wind, the sound of a rushing, mighty wind, breaking and tearing us under the mountains of sin and delivering us from the power and the wretchedness and the pollution of evil. Surely he will do that. Maybe there will be a great spiritual earthquake at this year's Keswick. God is sovereign. We can trust him into work in his own way. Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens and that thou wouldst come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. Maybe there will be a fire as the spirit of burning comes upon us. I do not know, but this I do know. There will be a still, small voice. And you'll have to listen for that. One of the most wonderful things I know, I think, is a gathering of thousands of people, such as this gathering this evening, where there is perfect stillness, where there is a divine heavenly hush, where heaven seems to come down and breathe over the congregation, and there is such stillness that we're almost conscious of being in another world. There's nothing more wonderful than that. Oh, pray God that that may be our experience this week. Speak, Lord, in the stillness, while I wait on thee, hush my heart to listen in expectancy. A place of infinite compassion, a place of divine revelation, and it was also a place of great humiliation. And it was so when Elijah heard it, the noise, the thunder, when he saw the lightning, the rain, the storm, and then, most of all, within that and through that, and above that, the still, small voice of God speaking to him. It was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said,
What doest thou here, Elijah? When Job had this revelation of the Lord and heard his voice, he cried out, I am vile. When Isaiah had it, he said, I am undone. When David had it, he said, I'm a worm. When Peter had it, he said, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. When Paul had it, he said, I'm carnal. And when John saw the Lord Jesus in all his dignity and glory and majesty there at the right hand of God, he fell at his feet as one dead. It was a place of great humiliation. This man Elijah was completely overwhelmed. That will be our reaction if we see him and hear his voice. Have you noticed over and over again in the Acts of the Apostles that we read words like this, that the fear of the Lord fell on all them that heard the word? That's what happened to Elijah. Pray that it may happen to us, the fear of the Lord coming down upon us. And finally and quickly, may I just say a word about the purpose? Why did God draw near to his servant Elijah and ask him twice, what doest thou here, Elijah? What was his purpose in asking this question? Well, first of all, and let me say it gently, it was to rebuke him. What doest thou here, Elijah? That was a word surely addressed to his conscience. And at every point, listen to this and mark this, it's so important, at every point where we are not absolutely in the will of God, where we are failing God, and where we are perhaps dishonoring his name and bringing dishonor upon his church, at every point where we are not right with God, God will rebuke us. If you come here condoning some wrong relationship, God will rebuke you. If you come here to this convention harboring some sin of which you are conscious, and you are harboring it, God will rebuke you. If you've grown careless and undisciplined in your Christian life, God is going to rebuke you this week. If you come here neglecting some clear duty, God will rebuke you. If you're here at loggerheads with somebody, God will rebuke you. Ah, yes, but wait a moment. Thank God. The purpose was not only to rebuke him. The purpose was to restore him. Yes, to restore him. To bring him back into happy, harmonious fellowship with himself. You know what I have sometimes thought are the four most beautiful and merciful and gracious and lovely words in the 23rd Psalm? Well, that would get you all thinking, wouldn't it? Let me tell you what I'm thinking about. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. When I run away, he brings me back. When I go off, he puts his arm around me. When I'm undisciplined, he comes and he touches my conscience and he calls me back and he's waiting to receive me. He restores my soul. It doesn't matter how far I've gone, I'm his child. It doesn't matter whether I'm a minister or a missionary or a worker, I'm an Elijah or whoever I am. He's waiting and ready and wanting to bring me back into the fullness of his blessing. He restores my soul. Why, if those words were not in the Bible, if that wasn't the truth, I wouldn't be here. Now, at this moment, nor would you. Not one of us would be here. Oh, this blessed work of restoration. When the Lord gently leads his frail and failing children back into full and joyous fellowship with himself, David experienced, Jonah experienced it, Peter experienced it, John Mark experienced it, I've experienced it, you'll experience it. He restoreth my soul. Thank God, the purpose that God had in speaking to this man, the purpose that God has in speaking to us with that still small voice is not only to rebuke our sins, but it is to restore us and to bring us back into happy, holy, glorious fellowship, joyous, peaceful communion and service. For that is his will for every one of us. And listen to me, my brother, my sister. Here is the word of hope. The Lord's purpose was not only to rebuke and to restore this man, but to recommission him. And the Lord said unto Elijah, go, return. Yes, he was recommissioned. Oh, you say, but Elijah was never the same again, wasn't he? Don't limit the grace of God
Don't limit the grace of God in your own life or in the life of anybody else. Oh, but you say, Elijah was never the same again. I grant you, he was never the same again. He was quite different after this. And you and I will never be the same again if God speaks to us and we hear his voice and God has his way with us. Some years ago, I had a period of illness. It wasn't serious illness, but I couldn't seem to get better. I went to the doctor and asked for this and for that, and I got this and I got that. One time it was pink, the other time it was white. Still, I didn't get better. And one day I said to him, look here, I'm very concerned. This has been going on for some while now. What can I do about it? And this is what he said to me. He said, Mr. Dixon, I want you to take yourself in hand and give yourself a whole year to get thoroughly 100% fit in every part of your being. Give yourself a year to do it. Take yourself in hand. I said, what do you mean? Well, he said, there's the question of sleep and rest and food and exercise and work. Get all these things harmonizing and balanced up. Take yourself in hand. I was astonished. A whole year. I said, yes. He said, don't make any shortcuts business of it. Give yourself a whole year. Well, you know, friends, I did it. And oh, how worthwhile it was. But listen, I can tell you something better than that. I don't want you to take yourself in hand this week. But I do beg of you in the name of my Lord, my living, glorious Lord, who is waiting to do mighty and marvelous things for us all, I do beg of you so to give your life into his keeping at this moment and at the beginning of this convention, that he may take you in hand and me in hand and perform his gracious will in us and for us and through us during the days of this convention. Would you do that? Would you ask him to take you in hand? Oh, it's a daring prayer. But if you'll ask him to do it, he'll do it. And it won't take a year, I can tell you. But in a very, very wonderful and in a very short time, the Lord will begin to manifest his power and his grace in your life in such a wonderful way that you'll say, oh, how glad I am that I just handed over everything to the Lord and I asked him to take me in hand. Would you do that? Lord, I give myself into thy hand. Take me. Reveal thyself to me.